The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Certainly going to be a day full of drama. We're going to take a look now into the presidential election as the deadline for nominations is fast approaching. Maria Steen and Gareth Sheridan will need more support from councillors, TDs, senators if they want to become the next presidential candidate, if they want to get their name on the ballot. And Meta has removed Facebook posts about Jim Gavin for violating standards. Well, joining me now is Harry McGee, political correspondent with the Irish Times, to tell us about all of this and much more. Good morning to you, Harry.
Hi, Ciara.
It's a key day, isn't it, for Gareth Sheridan and Maria Steen, who are both trying to get their name on that ballot paper, but both taking completely different routes.
Absolutely. There are two routes to get your name onto the presidential slate to get a nomination. The first one is to get the backing of 20 members of the Oireachtas, that's TDs and senators. The second one is essentially to go down the county council route and get the backing of four of the 31 local authorities. So Maria Steen is doing the former, Gareth Sheridan the latter. He started off relatively well. He got the backing of Kerry County Council last Monday and then followed it up with the backing of Tipperary Council on Tuesday. But since then, things have stalled a little bit for him. One of his key county councils was Carlo, and Carlo didn't back him. So he's relying on three of the 12 councils who are having special meetings today. He's focusing on three, on Offaly, on County Louth and on County Meath, in the hope of securing the other two nominations that he needs. But the wind has changed direction. In the past, it was relatively easy for a biddable candidate, a person who, you know, people would see as credible rather than eccentric, to pass the local authority test. There have been 10 nominations since 1997. There were four in 2018 and there were also four in 2011. And there were party candidates standing in both of those elections. But the difficulty this time is that Fine Gael have been whipped and councillors have been abiding by the whip. And also, even though there isn't a whip imposed on Fianna Fáil, its councillors have been acting in most instances as if there was a whip. And that's made the passage through to a presidential nomination for Gareth Sheridan much more difficult. He needs Fianna Fáil councillors to abstain at the very least if he is to have any chance of securing his other two. And there's also a slight difficulty, a technical difficulty he has with Louth. There are papers that were supposed to be admitted in advance of his presentation today, which weren't submitted. And his team are hoping that he will still be allowed to address Louth County Council.
Yeah, they seem to be confident that it is just this sort of technical mishap and that they will be able to overcome it. I mean, Gareth Sheridan wrote that piece in the Sunday Independent yesterday where he was really critical of Fine Gael and of Fianna Fáil for their, what he called, interference, an unfair interference. He said it was unprecedented and it was unjust to try and keep his name off the ballot. Looking at those councils, Offaly, Louth and Meath, what is their makeup and what is the likelihood, do you think, Harry, as somebody who is in the know, that they will lend support to Gareth Sheridan?
Yeah, well, Offaly, certainly Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael dominate. So if they kind of vote according to the kind of the strictures, the informal strictures that have been put on them, he will find it difficult to get through Offaly. Louth is interesting because there's a very large Sinn Féin presence on Louth County Council. The constituency has two Sinn Féin TDs. In the past couple of weeks in Tipperary and in Kerry, the Sinn Féin councillors either abstained or supported the principle of allowing an independent nomination to go through. I wonder, has the decision by Sinn Féin to back Catherine Connolly over the course of the weekend made any material difference? The party isn't instructing its local councillors to vote in any particular way. So I don't think they will be subject to as strict a kind of an order or a fiat as their counterparts in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Fianna Fáil are not under any instructions. Micheál Martin has told them to do the right thing, but they've interpreted that as backing Jim Gavin to the hilt in some instances. And I wonder, will the argument that Gareth Sheridan made, Ciara, in the Independent yesterday, might it possibly rub one or two councillors up the wrong way? You know, they might see it or interpret it as Gareth Sheridan being preachy to them and, you know, telling them that what they've been doing is wrong. That's hard to tell, but all will be revealed today.
Nobody likes to feel the fingers being wagged at them, though, do they, Harry? Moving on to the Maria Steen camp. And up to this point, they've been fairly hush-hush as to the names, the identities of the people who are definitely going to support her. Who do we know? Who has publicly declared their support of Maria Steen now? Where is she at in terms of those numbers?
Yeah, Pather Tobin, who has been coordinating it, claims there are 13, and not all of the 13 names are known. One or two of them, he says, have preferred to remain anonymous. But the two ain't two TDs, Pather and Paul Lawless for sure, Carl Nolan, the independent TD for Offaly, Matty McGrath for sure, the likes of Ronan Mullen, the independent senator, Sharon Loughran as well, the independent senator, who would both be kind of conservative commentators, they would certainly be seen as her backers. Michael Healy-Ray had declared over the course of the weekend. It's unknown if Danny Healy-Ray, his brother, is going to support the nomination or not. But Pather Tobin does claim that he has 13. And the big prize today would be if they were to get Paul Gogarty, actually, the independent TD for Dublin Midwest, is another person who has supported the nomination, in his case, in the interest of offering the electorate a choice when it comes to voting for the president. So the big ask for Maria Steen today will be to try to persuade the four TDs who are members of Independent Ireland to back her candidacy and to give her a nomination. And that would bring the figures up to 17, but they would still be tantalisingly three votes short. So a lot of focus will cluster on a group of independents in the Dáil and also in the Seanad. The likes of Sean Canny, Minister of State, Noel Grealish, a Minister of State, both of whom have said they're going to support Heather Humphreys. Noel Grealish told me that he's not going to sign nomination papers for anybody, but that was several weeks ago. Maybe he has been persuaded in the meantime to do otherwise. And there's this group of senators who are Michael McDougall would be seen as their kind of spiritual leader, and they are hoping that maybe one or two of those might be minded to lend Maria Steen her vote. And then if that doesn't work, I think they may try to see if they can get one or two members of Fianna Fáil to essentially lend Maria Steen their votes. But I think that would be a long shot in the extreme, and there would be repercussions within Fianna Fáil for any of its party members who did that.
The front of the Mail today is saying that it is Senator McDougall, that he is the gatekeeper here. I would have thought he would have been a bit more politically liberal than Maria Steen. Where do you think she's at now? Do you think she is going to make it to the 20, or is time really against her? Did she come into this just a little bit too late to do the required lobbying to get that support?
I think she entered the field very late, and it would be a huge achievement for her to get her nomination at this late stage. She's a very fluid and articulate debater and very, very good on her feet. I've seen her in recent weeks talking to members of Kerry County Council and also Fingal. So she's like an excellent debater, and that was evident in the referendum last year. I mean, her argument is that by nominating her, you're not necessarily agreeing with her in terms of her views, and she has views that, you know, that not everybody agrees with. She is very conservative in terms of her commentary, but she is saying that giving a nomination just allows her a chance to run and is not equivalent to an endorsement of her or any of the views that she promulgates. But that argument hasn't had resonance with the what we loosely call the McDougall group of independent senators as yet. Now, she did participate with Michael McDougall. Both were on the no side in the referendums last year, and both were part of the kind of the team that negotiated against it. So she has worked with Michael McDougall before, but it does seem that that group doesn't seem to be minded to give her their support at present, and that might be fatal for her. If she'd started earlier, I think she would have had less difficulty going down the county council route. If she had maybe started in February or March, as Gareth Sheridan had, I think she would have been capable of persuading four local authorities to back her. But when she entered the fray, it was just too late. You know, the die had been cast, the meetings had already been arranged, and, you know, she was really very heavily dependent on the 5-minute presentation that she made to the various councils, which in of itself is not nearly enough to persuade councillors to back somebody for the presidency.
Okay, but she's not out yet. And as you say, she is an excellent performer. She is an excellent debater, and lots of coverage in the papers at the weekend and indeed in the papers today about how nervous Fianna Fáil would be if she was able to enter this race and to get on the ballot paper because of how she may be able to take on Jim Gavin. Speaking of Jim Gavin, story in the Irish Independent today about malicious abuse that he has received online on platforms like X and Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. We don't know the content of that abuse, but he is looking to have it removed and appears to be deeply upset by it.
Yeah, I mean, it's disgraceful content, and it's been on all the social media platforms coming from anonymous sources and spreading malicious and baseless rumours about Jim Gavin. So he has acted to ask the social medias, or to demand the social media platforms, to take down those comments because they, at the very, very minimum, they fall foul of community standards, or so-called community standards, on those platforms. So yes, the Independent reported this morning, we had a story in this morning saying from Jack, my colleague Jack Horrigan-Jones, saying that Meta has already agreed to take down the content, the offending content against Jim Gavin's. But there's obviously a very deliberate slur campaign against him and trying to denigrate him by focusing on his personal life and making false allegations about his personal life. And they were in wide circulation last week. So I think the action by him and his team is just to try to draw a line under that and just to kind of, you know, to take them down. And again, to kind of say that none of them were with any foundation. They were all baseless and they were all false. But it does show that there are some players and, you know, on social media, who would do anything to denigrate the character of people. And I just think it's quite disgraceful, really, to be honest, that
Look, Harry,
we do, unfortunately, and it's part of the tapestry, unfortunately, of politics these days, Ciara.
Look, we're going to have to leave that there for now, but it is going to be a really interesting day in this presidential election campaign. Political correspondent with the Irish Times, thanks so much for joining me.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.